You folks so much, and it is such a blessing to be home. Let's take our Bibles and turn quickly to Ezekiel chapter 14. I have a long message from Ezekiel chapter 14 that I rarely get to preach the whole way through, and this is another one of those times where I will not preach the whole thing. But here in Ezekiel chapter 14, God is challenging, through his prophet Ezekiel, some men who are idol worshipers. And I'd like to preach a quick challenge entitled, Idols of the Heart. Idols of the Heart. Here in Ezekiel chapter 14, we find Ezekiel, who is often called Son of Man, as God would address him in this book. We find Ezekiel, a prophet, a preacher, a long time ago, preaching to the captives, the Israelite captives in the land of Babylon. And there were some men, the elders of Israel, who came to Ezekiel because they were concerned about what was happening back home in Jerusalem to the people they loved back home in Jerusalem. And there was yet the final Babylonian invasion that would take place in 586 B.C. This was really taking place here in chapter 14 between the final Babylonian invasion and the second one that took place. There were three total. And so Ezekiel's preaching between the second and the third to these captives in Babylon. And it was during that time that these elders of Israel came to seek his counsel, to find out what God was doing and what was about to take place. They came to the man of God to inquire of the Lord. This happened in Ezekiel's house where he was dwelling. And when they walked through the door, as we'll read in just a moment, God pointed out the sin that was in their hearts. He pointed out their idolatry. Let's begin reading Ezekiel chapter 1. It says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the God, the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols." I'd like to talk about idols tonight. There are times in our lives when we get our priorities out of line. There are times in our lives when things, often material possessions, become far too important to us and our eyes get off of the things of eternity. Friends, we need to have our focus where God wants it to be. And sadly, in our day, idolatry is rampant. It's not just a thing of the ancients. It's not just something that happened a long time ago that people worship false gods. It still happens today, and at times it happens in my life, in your life. Idols of the heart. We don't worship idols the same way they used to, but there's times when we set them up in our hearts. And that's what God was saying that the elders of Israel were doing in their day. They set up idols in their hearts. God was not first place in their lives. But furthermore, they set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, they actually had physical idols that they bowed down to and worshipped. The very thing that got them into captivity in the first place. They were still steeped in that sin. And when they came to inquire of the Lord, what's going to happen back home in Jerusalem? What's going to take place? How are our loved ones going to fare who are still at home? When they came to inquire of the Lord concerning those things, God had one answer for them. And we see that answer at the end of verse 4. You see, it's talking about those who set up idols in his hearts and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet. God said, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, every single time that these men would come to church, Every single time that these men would come to inquire of the Lord and seek God's face, God, every time they did that, with idolatry in their lives, with idols set up in their hearts, with God not being first place, God said, I'll have one answer for them every single time. I will answer them according to the multitude of their idols. Every single time they come to me, maybe with great burdens, maybe with great concern, every time they come to me with idols in their hearts, I'm going to give them one answer. It's not going to be the answer they're looking for. It's not going to be something that will help them feel better about the situation back home. It's not going to be what they're seeking. It's going to be this answer and this answer alone, according to the multitude of their idols. Friends, God, I believe, looks at us very similarly. When He is not first place in our lives, and we're coming to inquire of Him, we're coming to worship Him, but deep down, the honest truth is there's something else more important, God has one answer for us every single time. We may be coming to seek His face and to praise Him, coming to seek His guidance about what we should do about something this week. We may be coming to Him for all kinds of different reasons and needs that we have in our lives, legitimate needs. But every single time we come, He's saying, deal with the sin. Deal with the sin first. The sin is that I am not the place in your life that I deserve to be. Not this summer, but last summer, we had a verse, Revelation 4:14, I believe, talking about how worthy Almighty God is of all the glory and praise. God is worthy of being first place in our lives. And there's nothing else that even comes close to God. Is He first place in your life? Or is there an idol set up in your heart? Something else that is drawing your attention. Something else that is consuming your resources. Something else that is not what it should be in your life. I want us to think about the hypocrisy that there is when you and I set up idols in our hearts. You see, God pointed out the hypocrisy very clearly in the lives of these men as they came to inquire of the Lord. And God sees right through an outward show of spirituality in your life and mine. We come to church to inquire of the Lord. But if there's sin in our hearts, God sees right through the outward, and He sees the hypocrisy that is there. We say, praise the Lord, and let's seek Him, but He sees the idols are set up there. God sees that hypocrisy. And when we are steeped in idolatry, friends, when we get our hearts, our desires set on something other than God, it's hypocritical. We're fake. We're not having the genuine love for God that we ought to have and that He deserves. And so here, the first thing that we would notice is the hypocrisy of these men and how we are hypocrites as well when we set up idols in our lives, in our hearts. God gives that one answer every single time that that's the case. He refuses to overlook the hypocrisy of idols in our hearts. And He will always answer us according to the multitude of our idols. I'm not going to take the time to go over it, but there are steep consequences for idolatry that we would see in this passage. Penalties that exist when we do not have God first place in our lives. When we allow some other thing, it may be a very something we need greatly in our lives. It may be something that is very important, maybe a necessity. But if we allow something other than God to be preeminent, if we do not put God first place, then it's sin. There's penalties for that. And it says that in verse 5, I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And so, in other words, God would allow the stumbling block of their iniquity. He would allow the idols to cause them to stumble. There's a point to where God eventually says, okay, you want that more than me? Fine, you can have it. But it's going to hurt you. You're going to stumble over it. It may be a young man. You see them all driving around with their big trucks, you know. Maybe they... Where's Trevor? Where'd you go? You know, it's got that big stack on the back. It looks like a piece of ductwork or something. And just for show, you know? Maybe a young man, he got this truck and it's his idol. He puts all his money into it. He works all the time and then pours it all into this truck and that's his thing. And then what happens? You read in the newspaper how there was a young man killed, maybe wrapped his truck around a telephone pole or something. God allowed that idol to cause, he allowed that young man to stumble over his idol. I don't know of a situation like that. I'm not really recalling something specific, but I'm just giving an illustration. There are so many times when God says, okay, you want that thing so bad? You can have it, but you'll stumble in the process. There's penalties for idolatry, friends. There are other things that happen, not just allowing it to stumble us, but also the Bible talks about how they were all estranged from me through their idols, verse 5. And so that thing that you put in before God, it drives a wedge between you and God. Like when I'm splitting my firewood, that wedge just right through that firewood, and now you have two pieces. It drives that wedge right through it. And that's what that idol will do to your fellowship with God. When God is not first place, it hurts the fellowship that you have with Him. And they were all estranged from me through their idols, God said. It was their idols that did that, friends. Is God first place in your life? The Bible says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, there's a penalty for idolatry. It's a hypocritical thing when we are idol worshipers. It is a very damaging thing. There's a penalty for it when we allow that sin to come into our lives. But I praise God that we don't have to live that way. I praise Him that He's worthy and that there is something to live for, and that's giving Him all the glory. That's living for God 100%, and there is a remedy for idolatry as well. And we see it right here in verse 6. The remedy is, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. You see, we have to recognize those things that are in our lives that are not in the place they should be. God ought to be first place. And if there's some material possession, if there's something we have our hearts set on, and God is not the focus, then friends, it needs to be corrected. We need to recognize it as the sin that it is, and how God hates idolatry. And we need to turn from it. Turn away your faces from all your abominations. Repent and turn yourselves from your idols. And so God wants us to search our hearts. Are there some things in our lives that would fall under this category? That would be idols that we've set up in our hearts. They may not be on the outward. They may not be something that maybe even anyone else knows about. But we know we put that idol there. We know we set it up in our heart. And as we look at the way we use our time and our resources and whatever, as we examine our lives, realize we're really worshiping that thing. Friend, God needs to be first place in our lives. And so the remedy is to recognize what those things are. And by the grace of God, put them in their place. Put them back where they should be. The Bible says, cast ye away, every man, the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. It says that God will not despise that. And he's looking for that from you and I.